under this current collective bargaining agreement? Like, there are a bunch of them, evidently. Like, I know that the Pirates had, like, six moves or something within the last, like, 48 hours, at least six moves within the last 48 hours or so. So people were working under it up until the last minute, and I guess it was curious to me that the people signed under that. Like, I'm like, why are you signing under, like, do you think you're going to lose? I mean, I guess you could think that you're going to lose money under a potentially new system. I don't know, but I guess you would think that you'd have faith in your players' association that they well, of course, I don't know how much more you can get baseball players, fucking honestly.
Yeah, it's, yeah, just.
But, you know, I guess you'd always think that, to me, that you'd be in a better position to sign after after the bargaining agreement is done with.
Yeah, it is funny. Like, they're not going to have a salary cap, so this is never going to happen. But I'm trying to see, like, why they just left. I mean, isn't this one of the most active free agent periods in history with $1.6 billion, I think it's like billion dollars going to the players far this winter. They want, all right, so the union wants a playoff expansion to 12 teams. That's fucking dumb. And the ability to put patches on uniforms.
Oh, well, hey, I mean, we got the ads on hockey helmets already.
Yeah, I don't like that either. But the players want remove artificial restraints on free agency. I don't know what they're talking about, actually. Get players paid more at earlier ages. Fix service time manipulation and address tanking.
Well, I don't know how you do that last one.
Right.
The other stuff, it seems pretty reasonable. Like, it is kind of wild that when you have to hit free agency, essentially, like, unless you really get in young, like a Bryce Harper or someone like that, which is pretty few and far between, like, your first peak at free agency is, like, when you're in your early 30s, and everyone thinks you're teams have, like, 7 years of control or something like that of a player as soon as they bring them up. Like, so that means, like I said, like, if you're 18, you're still, like, 25 by the time that time period's done. Like, that's a long time. And then the other thing that they do is that they wait to call guys up so that they don't have to – they don't have a full major league – season, like, because there's somewhere in there, like, I know it's not exactly half or anything like that, but there's some, because that's why they wait for, like, May or something like that to bring up prospects, because then it doesn't count as a year in Major League Baseball, even though they only miss, like, you know, a third of the season or something like that.
Yeah, I guess I can understand that then. And also, why wouldn't it count if you sign a contract, say you're 18 years old, you sign a contract, why doesn't your service time start then? I know you're in the minor leagues, now you're technically not in MLB, but you are. You've signed with that team. If you weren't signed with that team, then you couldn't go anywhere else. Or if you weren't signed with that team, you could go somewhere else. So shouldn't it start, like, the 7 years, if you want to keep the 7 years, shouldn't it just start when you first sign your contract and not when they call you up? And that way it can just, all this can be avoided?
That would make a great deal of sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not saying the 7 years is even, you know, applicable. I'm just, by using their current standard.
Right.
Yeah, that's some garbage. But
yeah, because, I mean, most guys spend at least – And I mean, that is the other thing. Like, even when you are that young, if you get signed as a, like, a high schooler or something like that, you basically use your college years to get through the minor league system.
Yeah.
So, like, even in that case, maybe you're, like, 23 or something like that when you get called up. Like, you're still, again, you're going to be hitting 30 by the time, and I think 7's the right number. But that 7-year time period that they have some type of control over you, it's just like, man, that is a long time.
Yeah. And it also, it sounds like it's in debting, because you've heard, like, the, not horror stories, but you've heard, like, the manipulation they do with, like, the Dominican players or anyone south of America. And, like, how they just go down and, like, these guys are in dirt poor countries. Like, hey, you want $50? They're like, yeah. Well, all right, you're signed to a contract. Like, wait, what? Like, I mean, obviously $50 ain't right, but. And you almost lost me for a second because I was getting ready to go fight somebody. So I've got my headset on. Lisa's sitting next to me. She started playing a video on her phone.
Uh-huh.
It was just one of those stories, reels, whatever. It just started with sound. It sounded like there was a guy talking in here. Like someone just came in the house. And I turned and looked at her and was like, what was that? And I was ready to jump over this couch and beat someone's ass. Ugh. Jesus Christ. Pretty irrational response, I guess. But, you know, I hear a voice that's not mine or hers in here. We got a problem. So baseball's going to lock themselves out. I don't understand this 12, and then I guess the owners wanted a 14-team playoff.
Well, 14 just seems silly.
So does 12.
Whatever. Like, everyone's letting more people in. I don't care.
Yeah, our teams aren't making it anyways.
Yeah. I mean, the Pirates are not making it, so I don't, you know, whatever.
I'm going to the standings. I want to see if there were, I guess it would be 7-7 and 6-6, not 12. In the American League and 12 in the National League. That's not so unreasonable then. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I mean, you had 9 teams above. You had 9 teams above 500 in the American League. So, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Oh, everyone with a winning, essentially everyone with a winning record gets in.
Yeah, almost, yeah. Almost. Well, I mean, the 12 or 14, I guess it wouldn't. Because you don't want people who aren't even at 500. I mean, if you're allowing 7 or 6 teams in the playoffs, you should have to have a winning record. I mean, that's ridiculous.
But, yeah, it's, I don't think that's asking for too much.
No, but. But it's just funny, they want, like, all those teams, and college football can't get their shit together to add, where fans actually want more teams in the playoff, they won't do it. Where baseball's like, hey, we're going to add more teams, like, why?
Okay. Yeah, well, someone, I feel like one of the hockey podcasts I listened to, they've talked about the NHL expanding the playoffs. I'm like, huh? Like, really? Is that necessary at all? Like, half the league gets in anyway.
Yeah. Well, what's it? Well, hockey...
It's not quite half anymore, just because there are 32 teams.
Yeah, they added more teams.
Yeah.
No, I know why they're doing it. It's just for money. It's not for competitive balance. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. But,
at what point do the fans just go, no? I mean, I don't know. Honestly, it would be different if the Tigers were worth a shit, which maybe they will be next year. But the Wings have slowly started turning it around. So at least they're competitive. So unlike last year, it was just garbage. So...
Yeah,
but right now nothing in Michigan matters except for the Wolverines, so it doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah, the father-in-law is going to be at that game, so We have, I know people, well, since I'm going to the MAC championship game, my father-in-law is going to be at the Big Ten championship, and my older brother is going to be down at the ACC championship. I was trying to figure out if we knew anyone going to any other major conference championship game this weekend.
How far is Dayton from Indy?
Like 2 hours.
Oh, that's not bad at all, then. All right.
Hour and a half.
Just going to the game and coming back.
No, he's staying there.
Is he made of money, or did he buy these? He get all this stuff a long time ago.
One of his clients has a box, I think, is the situation, and he's taking him.
You know, I've always liked the guy. So, I mean, if he's got extra room, I'll cancel my weekend plans. Dude, so before the game, I looked at hotel prices. They were running anywhere between $300 to $500 a night. And oh. I'm like, oh, no. Because let's look at the airport. This is for Indianapolis, obviously. And I'm looking at the airport. They're running $200 already. And my plan was we go Friday, come back Monday, just so in case we're hungover after the game Sunday, we have to drive 12 hours back. And then I realized, oh, we have airline credit. So that's still not so bad, but, you know. But then looked at tickets, and it was always on, like, you know, TicketMaxFly.com. We're like, God damn it.
Oh, yeah, no
so
kidding.
Then the game happens, and by the way, that game was not a surprise. I don't know why everyone was so surprised how dominant Michigan was. Ohio State's offense, all you have to do is get in Stroud's face, and he doesn't complete passes.
Dude still had like 400 yards in passing. Like, he didn't have that bad of a day.
No, he didn't have that many.
396.
Is that what he really had? Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I kind of had that opinion watching it, but then I saw ESPN rolling the stats later, and I'm like, oh shit, man, he had a pretty decent day altogether.
Because,
but there were still a lot of points scored.
Catches made.
Oh yeah. Yeah, then, there's some pretty Yeah, he gets bailed out by those receivers a decent chunk.
Yeah. And it's funny that he had that many yards passing because the receivers seem quiet. Like, outside of the spectacular catches, like, I guess you're so used to seeing Ohio State with the giant plays. I mean, Olave, he's a senior, right?
Yeah, all of them. Good. all of them are gone as far as Brian was concerned. Cause
that is amazing to me. Stroud was 34-49 for 394. I had no idea.
Oh, 390. Yeah, that's it. Like I said, I kind of had the same opinion. I'm like, man, he didn't have a very good day. But then I saw that stat, and I'm like, I guess that's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. I'm just looking at stuff.
It was more a defensive failure than an offensive failure. Like, I guess they should have scored more. You know, like, I guess considering Ohio State was the more potent offense coming into it, you would think they'd be able to outscore Michigan. But, their defense did not do themselves any favors. Like,
no.
I think that was the biggest thing that got papered over between the Oregon loss and losing to Michigan. Because, like, they played Penn State, but Penn State doesn't have an offense.
Yeah.
So, at some point, you know, like, their defense held Ohio State in check for a while. But at some point, they're just like, hey, guys, we need to stop being on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And Ohio State just wore them down and just started racking up points at that juncture. Like, and they didn't Ohio State didn't have that many big games this year, honestly. Like,
no,
they didn't play that many people within, because Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan really were their only tough games. They didn't have a Wisconsin. They didn't have an Iowa.
They never do. It's amazing. I see these schedules like some of the other Big Ten teams have. Ohio State somehow repeatedly avoids whatever, like, the out-of-the-blue hot Big Ten team is. Like the one year Northwestern came in with steamrolling everybody? No, Ohio State. Illinois one year was actually good. And I know no one listening to this is like, Illinois? Like, yeah, I know. But they avoided them. When Jeff George was there, going that far back. They always avoid them. That's pretty far back. Yeah. And I mean, we were kids, right?
Yeah.
Jeff George was playing.
Yeah, I want to say that him in college was... Yeah, before us in college.
Yeah. And I felt bad. His kid actually played at Illinois. Like, dude, don't. Like, and he wasn't as good as his dad, because that's usually how it works. That's usually how it works. But then you got, like, the Mannings who have, like, you know, kind of dispelled that. But
no.
But, yeah, but no, I was just watching that game and, like, watching Ohio State's season. Oregon, like, they got down and they crumbled. Oregon just kept going.
Oh,
and then they jumped all over an overrated Michigan State team. And it was just done. And I was like, all right, as long as Michigan doesn't get down, we're fine. They came out and just blew their doors off on that first drive. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the second drive by Michigan, they just went, I think it went 3 and out. It's just a gross offensive series. And then as soon as they, you know, Ohio State, what was it? They got to, what, 7-6? Then Michigan just – that was it. And it was funny because I guess it was just the past watching that game. I'm like, all right, they're up by 15 with 3 minutes left. And then this is the only thing – only the two of us will get this one. I was like, up by 15, 3 minutes left? Yeah, let's get another bucket. I will never forget that one. Hammered out of our heads it. One in the afternoon on a Thursday or something, or whatever it was.
Oh man, yeah. It might have been a weekend.
No, it was a Saturday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Saturday. But we still came out of pockets in broad daylight.
Yes.
Very very drunk, like, and it was because they don't have any games starting before noon, but that might have been a noon game, and we were trashed by 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, because I remember that game, and what we're referring to is a Kent State Mississippi State game in the NCAA tournament. That game was in Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh,
so I'm at your place in Columbus watching a game that was 10 minutes down the road from my house. but yeah, no, I was watching that and I'm like, all right, this is great. And it was really cool. I mean, obviously it's been long, but I'm hoping this sticks and it's not one of these things where it's like, yay, we won, so 10 years later we're like, yay, we won again. So
yeah.
But if Ohio State's losing a bunch of their receivers, I don't know, man. I don't know if, like, Ohio State usually reloads, but that offensive line looked lost.
And that was, to me, the other problem. Like, that both Ohio State lines got handled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They just, because, I mean, you don't give up that many rushing yards without your defensive line getting handled. And it's not, you know, it's not. And they've had a lot of – it's been kind of interesting. I do feel like a lot of their stars on their defense have been more on the defensive back end. And that doesn't necessarily help you against the running team.
Yeah. Yeah, it was seeing Haskins just blow through them. And then Corum came in for I think it was his only play. And he busted one for like 60 yards. Which, if he's healthy, would have been a touchdown. Because you could just see him, like, pulling up at the end. Like, all right, my ankle's too messed up. But they had to get him in the game. So, I don't know. After that, right now, Michigan's offense, I mean, because McNamara's sticking around. McCarthy's got 3 more years. And most of the receivers are freshmen. So it's like, oh boy. But I don't know. There's hope for the future. And I'm hoping, I really hope this Saturday works out. Iowa is such a pain in the ass to play. Like, they're boring as hell.
Yeah, Iowa is one of those teams that I'm never surprised when they win, but I'm also never surprised when they lose. Like, they never seem to put enough points on the board, but their defense is always good enough that it keeps them in these, like, trashy, like, 21 to 15 games or something like that.
Trashy. That's a perfect term. Because I think that Nebraska game, I'm trying to find it real quick, I don't think they threw for 150 yards. And they came back and beat Nebraska. Which, you know, you say whatever you want about Nebraska, but come on. So
yeah, you shouldn't be coming back with that type of a stat on the on the ledger.
No, yeah, I'm looking.
Yeah, I didn't see that game, but
oh, I watched the whole thing because I'm just fascinated by Nebraska. Like, are they good or not? Like, are they good and have terrible luck, or like, you know, just implode, or is it? Okay, so whoever Smothers is for Nebraska, he had 198 yards passing. He was the high passer. So let's see here. Whoops, I hit the wrong button. I'm just because one of the Michigan podcasts I was listening to, they were talking about this game and how Michigan should be able to handle their offense pretty well, but of course it's going to be Iowa's ridiculous, stout and boring defense.
Yep. Their defense always seems to keep them in the neighborhood.
Okay. So I'm not really sure. I didn't catch the whole game, but I caught the second half. They had two different quarterbacks play for Iowa. Spencer Petras had 102 yards passing on 13 attempts, 7 completions, for an average of 7.8 yards. The other guy, Alex Padilla, 6 of 14 for 76 yards. So between two quarterbacks, they had 178 yards passing.
That's
but
not.
But then Tyler Goodson also had 156 yards rushing. So, you know, nice to have that in your back pocket, I guess.
Oh, man. Yeah, you should not be winning that game with those stats. I mean, 156 is nice, but I would think nearly the same out of your quarterbacks usually causes a loss.
I'm just looking at this like, how did anyone score in this game? But whatever. It's, I don't know. Yeah, I will say this. You said something about Penn State. Like, I don't like them at all, but you have to give credit. Like, they had, I think it was the receivers, right? Because their quarterback's not bad when he's healthy, but he's constantly getting his ass kicked.
Yeah, he was like he had a Ben Roethlisberger season this year.
Yeah,
just out there playing injured pretty much the entire season because his offensive line was dog shit.
Yeah, and then you have to overcome the coaching of James Franklin too. So.
Yeah, it was pretty rough there for him. Jahan Dotson is really good, but he didn't get the ball nearly enough just because his quarterback was running for his life most of the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's never been a good game manager, anyways. But even like the end for that Michigan game, he didn't have his top receiver on the field on fourth down.
Oh.
And then you throw a bomb 30 yards downfield to some kid who has one catch all season. Like, what are you doing? But, hey, oh well. But do not care. So
yeah, he signed long term, so we can look forward to that type of coaching moving forward.
I saw that deal Mel Tucker got at Michigan State, and I was like, oh, my God, that's ridiculous. And then I saw the deal Brian Kelly got at LSU.
You know what? I didn't even see that.
I think it starts off averaging 15 a year or something like that.
Oh my God.
It's 10 years, $100 million or $105 million. This is for a college coach who's never won anything. He was at Notre Dame. You know how many times? Oh, no, they don't have a conference. They were in one last year and still didn't win it. And then, you know how many playoff? Oh, no, he hasn't won any of those either. He hasn't won a college football playoff game that I remember.
No, and he was only there 10 years, right? So he was there the whole time during the playoff era then.
Yeah. And they play the fucking Coast Guard half the time. They play every branch of the armed forces except for Space Force because they don't have a team yet. And by the way, the idea that Space Force is a real, like, wing of the military is insanity.
Yes, there is no reason for a Space Force.
So anyways, but yeah, no, he hasn't won a damn thing since he was at Grand Valley State. Maybe when he was at Cincinnati, which I don't even know what conference they were in at the time. The Big East?
Yeah, it might have been Conference USA.
Okay.
I don't really remember. It was a while ago, and I don't feel like looking it up. So
yeah, he hasn't won a damn thing. So congratulations on paying him at least ten a year for 8 wins at the most.
Yes, I saw this joke somewhere on Twitter that said, "Oh, if LSU fans thought they hated Ed Orgeron, they're really going to hate Brian Kelly."
Oh my God. They didn't like Les Miles, who was actually likable. Brian Kelly is absolutely unlikable. And, no, I mean, what a huge mistake. I can't wait. I just can't wait for that to blow up. And I saw his press conference or his quotes today where he's like, yeah, I went to LSU because I wanted to be with the best. Dude, you had a cushy job where you could have been the best.
Yep.
I mean, in all seriousness, they do play Army, Navy, Air Force, Boston College,
yep.
Some handful of ACC teams, which are rarely – wait, they play Clemson once. That was during the COVID era, so that didn't even count. Last year doesn't count, by the way. That's just my thing.
I mean, it counts, but, you know, it's always worth noting that it was crazy season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They played Toledo a bunch and barely beat them half the time. So it's like – I also hate Notre Dame too, so that's probably part of it. But,
they actually might accidentally upgrade.
Well, they're talking about their D coordinator being the new head coach, trying to keep it in house.
Oh,
so I was like, oh,
good for them then. I guess if they want to do that, it still might be an upgrade.
Yeah, but it's also, like, for a school, as much as I don't like them, they carry a prestige name. Name, I said.
Yes, I know, unfortunately.
So, to go for 10 years of, well, 5 years of success, because he middled around for a while.
The last 5 years have been pretty good for them.
Right. So after those first five were just whatever, and they were going to get rid of him. And the other thing, I just thought of this. They actually announced that he signed a new contract this year. So I'm always confused by this stuff. How the hell do you sign a contract for 5 years or whatever it was? And then just go, nah, I don't want to honor this anymore. I'm leaving. I know they build in like out clauses or buyouts, whatever else. But why bother?
It's like, why not just do a 1-year contract every year?
Yeah. I guess in college you can't do that for recruiting purposes. You get slaughtered. So.
Maybe that's it, is that the illusion of security is there.
I guess. It's just.
Because, like you said, I mean, they can just up and move no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you're a student or a player, student, athlete, whatever you want to call them, you can only move once. And if you sign and the guy leaves, you're still locked into your, as it used to be at least, you're still locked into your letter of intent.
Oh, yeah. Well, not the case, because I was not terribly shocked to see that someone who was going to go to Oklahoma quickly decommitted from Oklahoma and went to USC. Now, I don't know the importance of this person, but I did see the headline, and it is not, to me, terribly surprising. Yeah.
Well, that's a commitment. That's not a letter of intent. Once you send those NILs or NLIs, whatever they're called, you're locked in. So even if your coach gets fired, you're screwed. You still have to attend. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. That's like, I mean, it's basically being told, you know, you're going to see a movie and all of a sudden the movie just changes on you. And you're like, well, wait a minute. I don't want to see Venom. I want to see Spider-Man. Like, what is this crap? Doesn't work, but whatever. So.
Well, I guess that's what I thought the transfer portal was all about for stuff like that now. Like, because people do seem to be shifting around at least a little bit more recently. Mm-hmm. But I've got to admit,
you have to be there a year.
I don't keep track of college football rules enough to know what exactly that stuff means.
Yeah, oh, dude, it's so incredibly tilted towards the school, towards the NCAA still. I mean, it's good that they've got like the likeness things now.
Uh-oh.
So the kids can actually get paid on their own stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that may be what, like, Brian Kelly's talking about, because one, the academic standards at Notre Dame are far superior than LSU's.
Uh-oh.
And that's always supposedly their problem, that they can't get this. I was like, it's been the same forever.
Yeah, oh, right.
When they used to win championships. So,
you'd think that they still have enough of a prestige name that that they could get more people.
You have your own network, essentially. I mean, and NBC shows every one of your home games. And now there's actually a streaming service. So you can see them overseas if you want to, if you get the Peacock Network. You know? It's just crazy. But the hell with Notre Dame anyways. Who cares? I'm glad he left. I hope they fall apart. I don't care. So.
It was one of those, hey, when you're growing up Catholic, hey, you root for Notre Dame, right? No, screw those guys.
Yeah, no. Well, who is Boston College Catholics as well?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
So, yeah, it was like, shouldn't I have just rooted for Boston College then?
Yeah, closer too, right?
Probably.
Yeah, no, college football, like, is such a weird thing anyways. Like, it's, you're rooting, like, we're adults. We are more than double the age of the people playing.
It's starting to get pretty weird, especially when you see some of the cheerleaders. I'm just going, oh my God. No, you all are entirely too young.
Yeah, and they're including fat ones too. It's like, God, what's going on? I don't understand stuff anymore. The idea of cheerleaders is such an antiquated thing anyways. Unless it's like that competitive one, you know, where they're doing like flips and they're throwing chicks left and right. That stuff, okay, I'm with it.
Yeah, that stuff's crazy.
But they don't consider that a sport. That's not considered a sport.
That makes
no sense to me.
But just like anything else these days, like, there is a travel competition for that everywhere. Like, because I can't tell you how many times I've been down near the convention center here in town, and there's, you know, you can tell that it's a cheerleading competition. Like, you can always kind of tell, like, what's going on. You see extra knee pads when it's a volleyball thing. Like, there's always some type of tell to figure out what's going on down there. So, yeah, whatever. I guess if it's not a sport, it's kind of whatever. It's more like, I guess it's like a dance routine, you know, like being in dance at this point.
Well, okay, so, like, this is actually, the reason I said it's not a sport is because by law or whatever, they've actually gone to court and said, no, it's not considered a sport. And then you were just talking, like, you know, dancing, rhythmic stuff, choreography, whatever else. I'm like, then what the hell is gymnastics? It's the same thing.
Oh, right.
You know? So it doesn't make any sense to me that you would, you know, prevent these majority of young women doing this from being qualified as athletes. I mean, I guess the whole thing started because they wanted it to be part of, like, the school system's athletic association or something like that, you know, every city, whatever. And they were fighting it, saying that it wasn't. And it's like, okay, if you're just – and I mean dead serious. If you're just the ones just standing out there with a giant megaphone, you know, tooting your own horn, whatever, no. Sorry, you're not. But if you're, like, doing pyramids where one's slingshot and the other one across it and some person's catching and, like – okay, yeah, that's a little different. I mean, it's not like a circus, but whatever.
I mean, some of those moves look like they could be in a circus. In a very complimentary kind of a way.
Yeah. I just wish, like, I didn't have to hear them. Because hearing, like, 16-year-old goes, okay, like, ugh. Like, and I mean, that's serious. Is that taught? So that they do sound that way?
I would imagine.
Because no matter if they're black, white, Korean, Indian, every cheerleading squad sounds the same. I don't understand that. Oh, no matter upbringing, none of that, any of that stuff doesn't matter. It's just crazy to me. But whatever. I just feel for those girls though. They should be getting more respect, and then also just more money or more coverage, insurance, whatever else. Unless you don't want to just stand there, then I have no sympathy for you. So.
Oh man.
Well, I told you I didn't watch a whole lot of wrestling the last week and a half, so we filling the time here. But
yeah, hey, that's fine by me. I don't really care.
Now, I got a cold last week. Do you remember what a cold is?
Yes.
Yeah, it feels like COVID, but it's not. So I've been told.
Yeah,
we had to drive over to Greenville, you know, stay with my parents for Thanksgiving and all that. So I missed NXT. I missed Dynamite the next day. I missed Rampage on Friday. Didn't see Impact at all. So I've been trying to catch up. So did see Dynamite, some of Dynamite. I watched a little bit of Raw Monday. Before, you know, just the usual, I don't care about this stuff, and turned it off. Last night's NXT show, I saw some of it, but then my cable box locked up and stopped recording it.
Oh.
Yeah, I was not pleased.
I was pretty surprised at how much of that I caught and that how little I needed to watch on YouTube.
I always forget about the YouTube stuff. So luckily I was able to see the MSK bit. And I think we figured out who it is now. Who the shaman is.
Oh, no, we didn't figure anything out.
Okay. We were talking the week before, about how we had no idea where this was going.
Oh, right.
So they're very clearly leaning into the whole pot stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it seem like it's RVD?
Oh. Yes.
Because it even kind of sounded like him on the directions.
I guess I was thinking, I was like, the only person that makes sense in this position is RVD.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. And because they went to California, right? That's where he lives.
Oh, I have not been paying that much attention to
they were going West Coast because he said it was like 6,000 miles or something.
Oh,
so
okay.
Or whatever he said. It was definitely West Coast. So, but I like the fact we're actually getting some personality from the guys and like more of a character, because I think you said even last time that they didn't, like, we didn't really know much about them.
Oh, right.
So, it's good to see they're doing something. I do wonder if one of them's hurt, though. Like, to take the titles off and then just do these skits instead. Like, they haven't even wrestled.
Yeah, because what was that? Because was it within this segment itself they mentioned this has taken 5 weeks or something like that?
It was the GPS.
Oh, the
GPS. Well, it's about time he got here. It's been 5 weeks.
That's what it was. And I was just like, yeah, that is a long time to have skits. Like, and that's a lot of dedication to keep on sticking by these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that I guess I don't feel like I've seen a bit like this in a long time.
Well, I mean, maybe the Indy Hartwell Dexter Lumis stuff. That took a while.
Yeah, but it was also interweaved with the wrestling. Like, this has just been a segment on the show. You know, like, it's been basically a promo for five straight. Well, and it'll be at least six shows now. Like, when Beth just screamed, "No!" at the end of it, I was just kind of cracking up.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, oh, yeah, they are dragging this out one more week, huh?
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I saw it, I was like, they're going to go to commercial and not come back, right? And then I was watching on YouTube, and it didn't have a follow-up. And I was like, God damn it. I'm guessing maybe at, because that's this weekend, War Games. Maybe it'll be like a segment on War Games.
Oh, that is conceivable. That ends up happening.
Yeah. So, did I miss Toxic Attraction, or more importantly, Gigi Dolin this week?
No, she really wasn't on this week.
Well, all right, then I didn't miss anything there. That's good.
I want to say that they made an appearance. But it was mostly backstage because it was Kaylee Ray versus Dakota Kai, and they got their reaction after Dakota Kai lost the ladder match to get the advantage for War Games.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that's who Kaylee Ray went against. The idea that Kaylee Ray is supposed to be like the good guy in this. Makes no sense. Like, she was a heel the entire time she's in NXT UK. She was a heel when she showed up a few times in NXT proper for the other War Games, I believe, right? I think she was in that.
Was she in that?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, she might have been. But yeah, she has definitely played a heel even on NXT. Proper. It has been really weird, like, because they brought her back and they're like, hey, she's coming back to NXT full time now. And then she was still a heel then, but they gave her like a month off or something in that vicinity, and they bring her back as the good guy. And it's like, I have been confused the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still even a little bit strange. Like, they have pushed Raquel Gonzalez that way more, too. But I still don't feel like she's had that full-on I'm a babyface moment.
No, Kaylee, for sure. Raquel's just a face now. Like, okay, she was always kind of terrible. And then her terrible friend turns on her. we're supposed to root for her and she's the good guy now. Like,
yeah. So, okay. Yeah, they have two people on the baby-faced women's team that are confusingly baby faces.
Yeah. But, whatever. I mean, I guess because Raquel is so impressive, you just cheer for her anyways.
Yeah,
I guess,
like,
that's what they're going for.
Well, she was stuck in that problem where they wanted her to be a heel, but she didn't ever have to cheat to win.
No. I mean, even the Rhea Ripley victory, she just beat her.
Yeah. They painted her as a badass the whole time, and it's kind of, like, not that I think that she's been, like, she's had to work against the crowd most of the time as a heel, but she still really hasn't done a whole lot to be heelish, other than mm-hmm. win.
Yeah.
And
beat people that you don't want her to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's an awkward one for me.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, I can't imagine Raquel's going to be there much longer anyways, because one of the things I was going to bring up, and I've noticed that just with the War Games match itself, because the men's team's the same way. You got Ciampa and Gargano on the same team. For some reason, I reverted back to calling him Eli Drake. LA Knight.
Yep.
And then who's the fourth? I forgot.
Sugar. It's skipping my brain currently, too.
Because the other side is Carmelo, Steiner, he's Grayson just... Wheeler.
You'll call him Grayson Waller one of these days.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it's Grayson Waller. Sorry. I guess I was thinking of Wheeler Yuta. Oh my God, who are on these teams? This is insanity.
Yeah, because it's not Trick Williams, because I'm trying to remember the fourth ones too without, like, this is more an exercise in how terrible my memory retention is currently than looking
God, this
something
is
up.
Embarrassing.
Because who's the, because it's not Joe Gacy.
Oh, all right. Okay,
and it's not Andre Chase.
I understand why my brain shut him out. It's Pete Dunne.
Oh.
He's on the good guy side. Okay? The other guy, and this is the guy that I purposely, my brain was like, no, Tony D'Angelo.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, the guy who's almost made it a point to be a loner is automatically thrown into a group.
Right. But also, it's like, all right, so you got Tommaso Gargano, my God, the history. Pete Dunne, who's just got done fighting with Gargano. And then LA Knight, who just kind of is.
Yeah, like, he's only old NXT because he's actually old.
Yeah. So it's like...
And Pete Dunne is probably younger than most of NXT 2.0 still.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, that's... I guess that's that. But it's just a weird War Games, and it feels so forced. That it's like, all right, I understand that you got the new guard, the old guard. But damn, it's like there's really not that big of a problem with anybody. Ciampa and Steiner, sure, I get it. The rest of them, it's just, like, the animosity's not there.
No.
Like, where does Tony D'Angelo fit in this? Who has he fought? The Last Lux or whatever her
name
is? Last
Legend?
Yeah.
No, and I don't think he's had a match against Gargano or Ciampa or... Did he have a match against LA Knight?
I don't think so. All I remember him with are jobbers. No, it was Steiner that had the match with LA Knight on his first time.
Oh, yeah.
Beat him. So, I don't know. And just knowing that this is probably Gargano's last match in NXT.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that I saw get up to date news on the WWE trying to re-sign two people, and I'm like, yeah, well, I think we know who that is.
Yeah, Gargano for sure. Are they talking about Kevin Owens?
Well, the picture had him and Kyle O'Reilly in the picture, which is another option too.
Kyle O'Reilly's a fool if he resigns. He's just a fool.
Oh.
Because, and this is obviously fantasy booking, dream booking, there is a ready-made feud in AEW. He goes in, teams with Bobby Fish, they're with Adam Cole again, don't worry about the past. And then Kenny comes back, and the Bucks are there. You've got an easy main event. But,
I think that he's just always going to be stuck in the spot that he's in. A weird spot, man. Like, I guess I always feel like he has singles potential, but the second he's been given a chance, whether it's in ROH or in NXT at this point, they're like, nah, we're going to throw you back into tag team.
Yeah, and he's just in it to help get
Von Wagner over.
I was going to say Von Wagner, but then I just went, you know what? I don't care. His dad was a natural. But his dad was also kind of stiff. This guy's not a natural, and he's very stiff.
Oh, who's his dad?
Wayne Bloom from... We went over this.
Oh, that's right.
The Beverly Brothers.
Yeah.
So... I'm not hating on the guy. He's just not there. He's not. He shouldn't be on TV. Because even when he appeared on SmackDown for an episode, if he was never on NXT, you would have never sat there and went, oh, that guy's a wrestler. But because he was on NXT, everyone was like, oh, who's that guy? It's like, no, that's not how this works. But... it doesn't mean it's not going to work. It just means it's not working right now. And I know is Kyle O'Reilly, besides teaching him in-ring stuff, is Kyle O'Reilly really the guy that you want showing somebody what to do? Because Kyle's promos in NXT at least are just whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
That's always kind of what has held him back, and he hasn't done a good job of the loosey goosey thing here recently. Just really has not been great.
Yeah, I guess part of it also is we're used to seeing a Kyle O'Reilly who's arrogant. When they're part of like the Undisputed Era and all that, all of them were assholes. They were arrogant assholes, and it worked. Even though he was a little more aloof, a little more goofy than the rest, it still worked. I mean, doing the air guitar, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then this whole thing with like him and Adam Cole, which I know he won the feud, but it never seemed like they were on the same level.
Well, yeah, because he got, within the time period of that feud, he got two cracks at the championship and didn't win it either time.
Yeah, three.
Oh, three?
Yeah, because remember, he went at Finn Balor twice, lost both, and then he was in that five-man where Karrion Kross just destroyed everybody.
Yeah. Yep, forgot about that.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, he's with this Von Wagner guy, and... I guess it's something that, I don't know if you've noticed, they've kind of toned down the newbies. Because it was like NXT 2.0, new person, new person, new person, new woman, new woman, new person, new woman. Like, whoa. And now they've just kind of settled.
Okay, well, this is where missing out on the show.
Oh no! They did some stuff. People.
Because they there were two guys, and I'm gonna. Oh, I have the results pulled up here, so I can take a look here.
No.
Because the one guy was in a match. Nope, not him. Oh, Idris Inofe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm pronunciating that right, but he took on Solo Sikoa.
And, oh, is it the black guy?
Yes.
Okay.
And he had a, I'm going to show you, he had a little 45-second hit there. Because, I mean, that was part of the show that I didn't catch. Because, I missed the Kaylee Ray match. I only saw the highlights, and then that I saw the highlights of. But it was just a little segment, and then he was out wrestling later in the show. And there was also, I want to say her last name was Stratton, the first name is escaping me currently. But this woman was out shopping and saying that she was going to... be bringing her fashion to NXT soon or some shenanigans like that.
That wasn't the daddy's girl chick, was it?
I think so. I'm trying to find her name there.
Because I know the whole daddy's girl thing kind of blew up on them. Like, people got offended by it or just didn't like it. And I'm like, I don't understand what the problem is, but I guess they took it in a sexual way instead of, like, she's just, like, daddy's little girl, she gets everything she wants. That's how I took it.
Tiffany Stratton. Stratton makes way more sense. Drop that in if that's really in there. Mm. Yeah, like a rich daddy's girl.
Yeah, it works. I mean, but I guess when they said daddy's girl, I guess it was supposed to be... I guess a lot of people took it as... Oh, here's this girl with, like, a sugar daddy.
Oh.
And I guess the way they were shooting it, because they never showed her face.
Oh.
They were always showing her legs or butt or boobs or something like that. And I'm like, all right, I like this girl. Let's go. Like, so, yeah, but it's like, if somebody like me doesn't think that, like, something like, I obviously caught the camera angles and all that stuff, but... I did not think for one second that this girl was like the sugar daddy, some old guy, or, you know, she's flaunting her wares to get what she wants. Oh. I just thought it was like some spoiled girl. Because, one, it's wrestling. That's exactly what it would be.
You get your mind out of the gutter, people.
Yeah, come a little bit lower. Like, whatever's with saying, join me.
You know that Vince McMahon isn't going to think that hard.
Oh, no, no. But, I mean, this is all Shawn Michaels' baby apparently right now. So, oh, did you read that news about, like, Triple H's, like, heart issue or whatever they called it was actually pretty serious?
I guess I started assuming that it was pretty serious when they made a passing mention that he still wasn't at work at some point. And I'm just like, damn, man, that's been a long time. I did not read the report, but I was also not terribly surprised. Like, because I kind of expected a big, hey, Triple H is back kind of a thing. To be announced, you know, maybe not on TV, but at least the channels that we go through most of the time on Twitter or just the sheets would probably have news like that. And I, you know, again, like it was another one where the longer it became, I'm like, damn, man, this must have been pretty serious. And I guess this is just confirmation. Did you read the report yourself?
No, I didn't read the... No. I can't remember who said it, but maybe it was Meltzer. I'm not sure. But they said... They called it a cardiac incident. That was it. Oh,
yeah.
You know, underplay it. But apparently it was very bad. To the point where we could have lost him. Like, that's nuts. And then, you know, I don't know if you saw the video of him, like, walking with the other WWE officials, like, checking out the new headquarters place or whatever.
Oh, no.
So that was the first, like, kind of appearance. He looked normal. So, you know, it didn't look like he was straining or any of that stuff. So that was good. But it's still just like, damn, dude. Can you imagine, like, losing Triple H? Triple H is dead? Like, something like that.
Yeah, that would be, that one would be on the wild category, you know. You definitely don't expect that from someone who is, you know, relatively speaking, still young.
Well, I know there's always, you know, it's always wrestling, so there's always the insinuation of, like, you know, steroids or whatever other, you know, stuff to help help his physique.
Right.
But he was also one of the clean guys. He didn't drink, no drugs, you know, nothing like that. So to actually, like, the possibility of losing someone who, like, was actually clean, pretty nuts.
Oh, I guess I was not aware of his straight-edge tendencies.
Well, I'm sure he probably has a drink here and there, but he wasn't, like, the people. Remember who he was hanging out with?
Right, yeah. He was, considering the crew he was with, he was relatively tame. And I don't feel like he ever got a reputation or anything like that. I feel like at some point that information kind of leaked too.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, that's pretty. It was just something I wanted to ask you before if you had read about that, but yeah, I mean, that's nuts to me. The idea, I mean, and I don't like doing these comparison things, but in this case it kind of works. Just like how messed up Shawn Michaels says he was, right? He survived and his life is thriving now.
Oh.
And then somebody who was taking care of the guy that was a gigantic disaster goes in his 50s, like, what?
Yeah, and it would not shock me if Shawn took more of the steroids than Triple H did. Just because, holy smet. Shawn Michaels was definitely on the gas back in the day.
You know what? You know, and the bad thing about this is the Shawn Michaels that was a disaster is my favorite version of Shawn Michaels. Dude, that whole, like, screw job DX stuff, that was the best shit he ever did. And I know it's like, well, yeah, he's a drug addict, whatever. It's like, it was so good. And I know, like, I was like, well, that was a very sad person. I'm like, yeah, I get it. But, man, it was great.
Yeah, because, I mean, the other stuff coming back were all – he had a lot of big moments after that.
Yes.
But I think I'd agree with you. Like, is great as the Undertaker Michaels matches were, did I enjoy it as consistently as some of that stuff? Probably not.
Yeah. But I love the attitude. Like, from a guy who always liked the bad guys anyways, the attitude, I mean, you could just see the disdain. The arrogance was real. All that stuff was real. And it just came through, and I know it's not healthy, but it was great. But and earlier I mentioned that is obviously the connection with the, you know, Triple H, and also Shawn Michaels is the guy running NXT right now. So,
What else? Honestly, it was a little surprising to me that when they first mentioned on the show, they're like, War Games on Sunday to start the... I guess I didn't hear it to start the show, but probably, you know, it's probably in the next segment. I'm like, oh shit, there's a pay-per-view this weekend? Like, to kind of go back to what you said, it did not... Nothing for this War Games seems to have had time to percolate.
No. It just seems like, all right, let's just do a pay-per-view. Like, How about we don't? You know, like, you don't need to do that sort of stuff. It's pretty nuts. But it's what they want to do. So,
yeah, it was on the schedule for them. Oh. It doesn't matter that they've completely revamped and it doesn't make any sense to do it.
Yeah.
Right now, like maybe a month, maybe at the end of the month or something like that.
Yeah. Now I'd be, all right. So what I did see was, Kyle and Von Wagner, of course, saw that match. Whatever.
Yep.
What was the other thing I saw? I did catch the main event, which was really good. I mean, I'm not giving Gargano credit for the entire thing, but he was so good in that. Feeding Steiner all the stuff that he needs to, making Steiner look like a badass the whole time. And even when he got the upper hand on him, he didn't look weak at all. He's like, well, this little sneaky guy, you know.
Oh, right.
Does what the sneaky guy does. And it worked. And I enjoyed the hell out of that ladder match. And I didn't really care who won. I was like, this is just good. So,
yeah, I mean, because both of the War Games teams kind of have mixed babyface heel dynamics going for them, it's kind of hard to care who gets the first one. Because, even though Kaylee Ray won it, like, I did think, I'm like, well, at least on the ladies' side, it does seem like there's a babyface heel dividing line a little bit more, in theory. But the men is just a jumble. Like, I guess I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, the men have, like, historical issues inside that match, just with Gargano and Ciampa.
Oh, right.
So it's like there's already, like, that pressure there, which I don't think they've really played up too much, unless I missed it.
No. I don't think they've really, they've kind of mentioned it, but they haven't really gone into it.
Okay, well, I mean, it wouldn't be kind of stupid to not mention it?
Well, you know? Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Hey, remember this thing that happened a long time ago? No. Okay.
For like a year and a half straight.
Yeah. Some of the best matches and angles in NXT history. That thing? No, I don't remember that at all. Okay. Well, say so. So, but no, like that match was just good. And I think, you know, regardless of what you think about the NXT 2.0 thing, they really did a service by just throwing Steiner straight into the mix. He hasn't disappointed at all. And the more work he gets, the more time he gets, the better he's just gonna get. And I don't know. I just like it. I like him. I mean, go figure. I love his family when they wrestled. So
yeah, and he continues to look like his family, which is why you've not called him Braun Breaker a single time this show.
No, I don't call him that because it's stupid. So, anyways, I'm not doing it. They're like, oh, Johnny Gargano versus Braun Breaker. I'm like, you know how much better it would have sounded if it was Johnny Gargano versus Rex Steiner? Oh, a hell of a lot better, actually. So, yeah, it's just that stuff just annoys the shit out of me. But, anyways, but no, he looked like a badass. Johnny didn't look weak in losing. And even if Steiner would have lost, he wouldn't have looked weak either. I mean, Johnny's pulling out all the stops.
Oh,
I like
right.
I like the spot where he hits him in the head with the briefcase. Thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Do you remember ever seeing that before?
I feel like it should. I feel like it's been used before, but less often than you would think. You know, like it's right there. There are enough people that have fought over a briefcase, and you'd think that happened like pretty much 100% of the time that people are up on the top of the ladder fighting for it, but it only happens like once every 15 years.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like a spot that should happen every match. But yeah. I could not. I saw it last night, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I'm like, wait a minute. Have we ever seen that before? Like, I honestly could not think if someone had done that before or not. So.
Yeah. If it has happened, it's very few and far between.
Yeah. But no, it's like just another, you know, it's another positive. Another positive outcome for good old Rex Steiner there. So, and Johnny Gargano just proves, you know, he's great.
Oh.
I'm curious where he goes.
Yeah, considering that his mini extension is supposed to only be through War Games here, I suppose we shall know an answer sooner rather than later. Because, I mean, I guess he more easily could be gone than, like, you brought up the name earlier, like, Kevin Owens. Like, that guy seems way too into WWE programming currently for him to want to step aside.
Well, I also wonder if that's by design, too. Like, hey, you're the centerpiece, you're the showcase of the show right now, see? Don't go anywhere. See, we promised. We told you what we do. See, we promised you. So.
Yeah. I mean, I would certainly understand if they think they want to keep him around. Because he's just been a great utility player.
And I think, okay, I understand what you mean, but do you think he wants to be just a great utility player?
There are only, like, I was going to say, I guess they still don't have enough main eventers in AEW. You know what I mean? Like, they brought more people, you know, they brought more, obviously they brought more people in, but they probably could use someone like him. But I guess the thing with Kevin Owens, like, as much as I think he is a utility player, they have kept him on the upper part of the card for the most part. Like, he hasn't been near the championship, but he's kind of, I feel like, Dean Ambrose-y, where he's still getting a ton of time. Like, if he's upset with the company like Ambrose was, then he, you know, he ducks out. But, man, I don't know. It just feels like he's going to be one of those guys to stick around.
I can kind of see that, too, because I was watching Raw, and it's like his contract supposedly is up in December, right? Unless this is why they're doing this, by the way.
Oh.
His contract is up in December, but yet he's going to be on a pay-per-view that's on January 1st. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
So, yeah, I couldn't remember exactly when. There were so many people just kept on going, oh, hey, these XX and X are, their contracts are up. And I kept on getting all of the dates mixed up in my head. So I don't know when Owens was supposed to be, because I do remember him making that specific reference on Raw. But he also made that, like, 2 weeks ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, whatever time period he mentioned is either almost up or if... Because did he say something about 3 months, which would be, like, February, maybe?
Yeah, it was like 3 years or 3 months or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, then I guess I would put him in the February category instead of December, like Gargano and what's his name in O'Reilly.
Yeah, so I don't know.
That would also account for him still being very involved in WWE TV. Like, if he has another 3 months, like, why would you waste him during that time period? But again, like, I think that you're right. Like, they have been in the Kevin Owens business being very visible for, you know, quite a while at this point. And I do think it's by design to keep him around.
Yeah. And keep him happy, maybe? I don't know. But it's like, I think, wasn't it always his, like, wasn't he one of those guys, like, it's always his dream to go to WWE, whatever else? And it seems like he has a good relationship with McMahon, from what he's always talked about.
Oh.
So.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the other reason why it just, to me, feels like one of those guys that I wouldn't be completely surprised sticks around. Because, yeah. I mean, you even heard that. I mean, one of the few pandemic stories was him getting the mask policy changed.
Yeah. Vince is like, what can I, what, like, why are you going home? What can I do? He's like, here, do this. So Vince changed it. So it's like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah.
Interesting.
That seems like a lot of pull for someone around there.
Yeah.
You know, so that, I guess that's the other reason why it'll be kind of interesting to see what he does. Like, and I agree with your other point that, yeah, if he really wants to be a main eventer and hold a world championship again, he probably needs to go somewhere else. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him in championship matches again in the WWE. Like, I'd be more surprised if I didn't see him in one in the future if he sticks around the WWE. But him holding it, I have my doubts. You know, like, I don't know who necessarily he'd beat, per se. But, hey, you always have money in the bank that can work that problem out.
Well, what I was thinking is, and, you know, doesn't matter if we like him or not, is Big E exactly tearing it up and bringing ratings and all that stuff? Like, And on that point, is there anybody that can anymore with the way they do their business? You know?
Oh. Yeah. I'm not sure that that... Yeah.
So why not have him beat Big E?
It's kind of weird. You know? Like, it's hard to... I don't know if there's a good way to quantify that now. That we have access to, necessarily.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's no pay-per-view buys anymore. There's none of that stuff.
Yeah, and it doesn't, like, as much as people have been, oh, this and that about ratings, it's not, the WWE still isn't flinching, and they're still making money, and they just made more cuts, you know, which will invariably make them more money because they will not be spending as much money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, they're still going to be, you know, they're still going to be very profitable moving forward. Whew, what was that point that I was trying to get to there?
I don't know where you were going with that. I was letting you go.
Well, I
mentioned how, like, Big E's not moving ratings or anything.
I guess that's where I was going. Like, I don't know how you tell if he's a good champ. Like, I love him. I think he's been great. I've liked his matches. I've liked the promos. But has he been a great champ? I don't know. Like, he got put in a pretty awkward spot of winning the championship and then pretty much immediately losing to Roman Reigns. So he's already in a little bit of a hole on his own.
Yeah, like, him losing to Roman Reigns is not a big deal. Him losing clean to Roman Reigns is a big fucking deal. Like, there should have been some shenanigans there, man. And there just wasn't. So that's just that was kind of crazy to me. Like, he's lost. Yeah. And I know, like, Roman's the golden boy and all this stuff, but, you know, Big E shouldn't have lost clean. Or cleanish, whatever you want to say. But, yeah. No, so the only reason I said that about Big E is, does it garner more heat if Kevin Owens beats him? Like, does Kevin Owens benefit from, you know, beating Roman Reigns, God damn it, beating Big E, or any of that sort of stuff, you know? Enough to end, like, Big E's title run, does it get Kevin on, like, you know, make Kevin this ultimate bad guy, or whatever else? So, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, so. It's a good question. Like, I mean, they've done a good job of turning him heel for this recent run, and they definitely need that. They need heel opponents for Big E.
Yeah.
But it is kind of curious, and maybe it's just because the answer is going to be they'll stretch both feuds out. But I do find it kind of curious that Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are being thrown against him rather than just one or the other and just kind of having a prolonged feud for either of those gentlemen.
Yeah. Now, call me stupid here, but I know Kevin Owens supposedly turned heel, right?
Yeah.
But didn't he kind of have a point, though? Like, I didn't really do anything. And yet, here we are, where you guys are telling me that I am a certain way. And I wasn't. You know? Like, the only reason I'm acting this way now is because this is who you told me I was going to be. So I'm just going to act like it.
But, I mean, they did get betrayed by him in the past. So it's not like there wasn't some precedent set, for Big E.
Yeah. But, well, no, Big E wasn't part of that, though. Remember, he took Big E's place spot because he was hurt.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, he still took his brothers down a peg.
Yeah.
So I can definitely understand the animosity there. Like, I don't think there's any direct confrontation with him and Seth Rollins.
You know what's funny, though? I just thought of this because you said that he was like he had an awkward time right now. Like, you know, Seth is heel, he's heel, and then he's like challenging, you know, just challenging, right? Isn't that the same thing that happened with him and Kofi? Kofi just won the title, and then here's Kevin Owens just comes in, and, you know he's not going to beat Kofi Kingston. But yet, here we are, and he's in, like, a new feud with him. Here we are with Big E. And it's like, do we really think Kevin Owens is going to beat him? Like, is he just the New Day spot guy? Right, he's someone for you to feud with real quick.
Well, again, I guess that's why I put him at utility player, unfortunately for him.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Because he's just, I don't foresee him winning the title. I definitely see him fighting for the championship again. Like, and I guess I wasn't even thinking about this particular challenge that is taking place on New Year's Day. I'd kind of forgotten about that one, but we were talking about his contract being extended, so I guess I was thinking into the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the spot that he's been in, and he's been in it for a while at this point, and he's been really good at it, and I don't know how many people, like, The Miz, I guess, to me, it would be someone that's in that category. Although, he did have a championship reign again.
Yes. Even if it was awful. It was a terrible championship reign, dude. He was running from people.
that was awkward. It was the only way for them to get the championship off of... Who'd they get that off of?
Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah. So that he didn't have to lose clean to Lashley.
Yeah, and then he just did it at WrestleMania anyways. What?
Yeah, that didn't really solve the problem that they had.
Yeah, so it's like, okay.
Although it did give us a very dominant and very awesome Bobby Lashley, so I'm not really arguing.
Yeah, you know what? If you're going to not sacrifice Drew McIntyre, but if you're going to have Drew McIntyre lose clean to somebody or lose like in a competitive manner to somebody, they did a great job because Bobby Lashley has really just become finally the Bobby Lashley that he probably should have been for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
For sure.
Yeah, no, and it's.
Especially since, TNA, I mean, I do feel like that was the, I feel like this Lashley is the TNA Lashley. Like,
yes.
There might be little differences in how the character was presented between then and now, but for the most part, that was not the, it's the same. It's pretty close to the same character.
Yeah, it's like they fixed the mistake somehow. But, oh, real quick, to go back to the Kevin Owens thing.
Yeah.
I did think it would be pretty funny, though, if, you know, Kevin Owens leaves, right? He goes to AEW. He's in the Casino Battle Royal, right? And then who comes out as the wild card? But, I don't know, I guess they wouldn't call him Sami Zayn. But if it was El Generico again. And El Generico comes out. And they immediately just start fighting. Like, it would just be funny. If he just comes out, they start fighting, they immediately just continue a feud again. Or, you know, possibly the two of them are a team again. But it would just, I just think it would be very funny if that happened. Like, everything old is new again, but it's still old. And it's still satisfying. Like I loved. Was it the Royal Rumble this year, where the two of them got in the ring? They were trying to work together, and they just ended up fighting again.
Possibly.
I think. I don't know. It just cracks me up. Like they're smart enough that they just do that over and over again. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones where until people don't cheer. People will go back to that.
Yeah, if it doesn't get the reaction, they will do it. So,
yep. So it keeps on getting a reaction, and I guess it was kind of different. Their recent, because they really have a feud recently, or they just kind of bump into each other. And it was kind of interesting with the dynamic of Kevin Owens being the baby face at the time and. Yeah. Sami Zayn still being the crazy heel.
Well, they stayed away from each other on SmackDown pretty well.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun. Like they're on the same show. Like they're going to collide eventually, and they never really did. Outside of like maybe some like ladder match or something like that, but
yeah, some multi-person match.
Yeah. So it's gonna be strange next. Like, this is usually WWE's down period.
You know? Oh, yeah.
You get to the Rumble, and then they go, okay, now we're going to make this watchable. Until WrestleMania, then just after WrestleMania's over, just don't bother anymore. So, yeah,
that's why I told you before, well before the show, to just watch NXT. It's just like, whatever, man. That stuff just kind of is what it is right now. Because, yeah. I mean, they're in a state of change, too, themselves. Just because of all the roster cuts. Like, not that all those people were on TV necessarily, but they do seem to at least be trying something there. It's not necessarily working, but they're trying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I think that's a good way of saying it. They're trying, at least. Where the flagship show doesn't seem like... I don't understand the whole point of the Vince McMahon-Austin Theory thing. That confused the hell out of me. For the segments I saw, then I heard it ended with him slapping him, and it's like... Okay.
Yeah. That's what it got out of me. Like, I know he's supposed to be, I suppose, getting a rub by being in a segment with Vince McMahon, but it's just like... It isn't even a fun, hey, we have a doddering old fool in the young guy dynamic. Like, it. Because Austin Theory was pretty much scared the whole time, I guess the hesitancy was supposed to be the fun part of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like.
Yeah, I don't know. But Austin Theory's the real deal. So if they just let him be like who he was in Evolve, just let him be the young, cocky guy. It's not hard. He would just talk about, oh, he's the future, he's the future, he's the future. And it's like, okay. Why not do the same thing? It's like simplicity has its merits. It has its points. Like, it has its place. You don't always have to make something so complicated. Just a young guy who thinks he's better than everybody else, who beats everybody. Until he comes up against that old dog and just can't get through it. It's not that hard.
No, but, right.
You know, whatever. So.
Okie doke.
It's raw.
Well then I'm going to talk about Belt Time beer. I'm still working my way through the summer stash. Land Grant Brewing Inflatable Flamingo Watermelon Wheat. It is quite light and quite easy to drink, and yes, it's pretty watermelony. So I'm not going to argue. I like watermelon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mine is the Hazy Creek. It is a juicy, hazy IPA from Sugar Creek Brewing. Disclosure, I know the owner. We're friends. Doesn't matter because it is the best. It is consistently the best IPA in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I know if anyone who hears this that lives in, like, what are you talking about? They consistently make the same beer, and it always tastes the same, and it's always great. Most places around here can't say that. They change their stuff so often. So, you know, like there's Juicy McJuice Face from Lower Left, very good. Send It from Lenny Boy, which I think is just a pale. No, it's a hazy IPA. Another very good one when they have it. But this is always available and it's always great. So.
Yeah, there is something to be said that for standards.
Yeah, it's just good, man, and it went down very easy. So plus, being at the gym now, we get it for free. So, makes me very happy after deadlifting more than I was supposed to tonight. So,
Well, I am. Kevin DeFrango at DeFrango11. That is Jeremy Mays at Granny Mays. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of podcast purveyors, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Night, gang. Okay.